Thank you, Brother Bill. Appreciate you.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
I know I don't deserve it.
Well, you know, really don't none of us deserve any of it. We don't even deserve God's love, but I'm so thankful that He does love us. And He is unconditional. He don't love me no more than He does you. And He don't love you any more than He does me. But that's the kind of God we serve. And I thank the Lord for that. I really do. But this evening, this morning, we'll turn to the book of Revelations, chapter 1. Book of Revelations, chapter 1. I thought about trying to come up with a message just for the fathers, but you know something? What I'm going to be preaching about, the true Father, which is God in heaven. He's my daddy, He's my papa, He's my all, and I thank the Lord for Him, I really do. He don't have to do nothing for me, but I'm so thankful that He does. He looks after me and takes care of me. And yes, and He does supply blessings upon me. And I thank the Lord for all His blessings. I really do. But here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12. And we'll see right here where the hand of God is on individuals' lives. It says right here in chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "And I trusted to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, and if thou burned in a furnace, and his voice and the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Right in verse 19 it says, Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and it is seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. We see right here where God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has spoken. He has spoken unto John, the divine revelator. He has went about seeking God all of his life. And not only that, he has fulfilled his promises in what God has asked him to do. Now, I would, of any other individual in the Bible, I would love to have been John. John, when he went about and when he wrote the book of Revelation. And it's, and I know we speak the all the writers and everything, and when it come down to this book right here, it's talking about the revelation of John the Divine. But it's not the revelation of John Divine. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In verse 1 it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto him his servants things which must surely come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angels unto the servant John. John right here was listening to the servants. He was listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had an attentive ear turned to the Holy Ghost as the Holy Ghost spoke to him about the book of Revelations. Now, the book of Revelations is things that's going to happen. It's going to happen in the future. We haven't got to any of that yet. But I believe that if we can look at it close enough, we can see where that we have come all the way down to the book, to chapter 3 in the book of Revelation. And it's talking about the Laodicean church. Who is the church speaking to? The Laodicean. It's speaking to the people. The people's church is what it's about. That's what the Laodicea means, is the people's church. It's not God's church anymore, because you can go into the house of God anywhere and you can feel like that it's a presence there that's from somebody else. It's a presence there that you don't recognize, that you cannot feel. And it's the presence of the devil. The devil is more prevalent today in God's house and doing what God is willing for the people to do. In talking about that, we know the message today. The first three chapters is speaking about the seven churches. Well, we had the Philadelphia church. That was back in the 50s when people was getting along together. And when farmers, they would go out and they would help one another. They would help one another get the crops in. How many today that you know of that will go out here and see someone that's bedridden, or see a family that is sick and cannot get their crop in, and the crop is just out there just withering away? You won't have people anymore to go out there and get their crop in. They'll want to know, well, how much are you going to pay me? How much are you going to give me? Are you going to give me half of the crop if I get it in for you? Well, see, the Philadelphia church was a church back in the 50s and the 60s. That was a church back then. But today we're living in a church, we're living among people today that claims to be Christians and claim to know God. And yes, and if they are saved, they are the church, not this building. I've told you time and time again, and I'll say it until the day that I go home, this building right here is not the church. It is an empty vessel. We was an empty vessel there at one time until Jesus Christ came and sought us out. I was an empty vessel there at one time, dying and going to hell. Now, don't get me wrong, this old body still decaying every day. Because when my mother gave birth unto me back May the 27th in 1950, from that point on, I had a corrupt body, and it was decaying every day. In other words, this body was dying every day. This body is not going to live forever. But the people, you go out, how many of you went out here and talked to people and you talk to them about church and they'll tell you, oh, I got all time in the world. You have? I mean, I've seen them in the paper, in the obituary column, 12 years old. I've seen them younger than that. I've seen them older than that. The devil has no age barrier. Death itself is sure. It's coming our way whether we like it or not. It's coming our way. But God has given us a way to escape the damnation of hell. But people today, they don't want to escape it. They want to continue on living their life. And they believe that they can come in, and they believe that they can come in the door, and they can walk into the church, and when the invitation is given, that they can come forth, and they can get saved when they want to. But it does not work that way. God says it's the foolishness of preaching that will bring sinners unto the Lord Jesus. And they have to be convicted first by the Holy Spirit. But here in chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, we see where it's speaking about the Laodicean church and the apostasy. The estate of the church, the way the church has done got today. But it says in verse 14, let's back up to verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what Jesus Christ saith unto the churches. No. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We are here today, and if we don't invite the Holy Spirit in, we're not going to hear from him. We're not going to be blessed from him. But we have to, first of all, invite him into the services. And he is not invited into the whole lot of the services today anymore because of what goes on within the churches. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, some of them, they like these all this contemporary music and everything where they got the bands up here, the drums and all of that. Well, that's fine. That's fine if that's what they like. But I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like an old-fashioned hymnal. Because in this book right here, it talks about the blood. In this book right here, it speaks about the blood also. In this book right here, we can sing about the deity of Jesus Christ. In this book right here, we can preach about the deity of Jesus Christ. But we have a whole lot of them today. They get up there and they'll read some of these other translations and where it says we're supposed to be speaking about the Lord in there. They'll be saying, well, he. I was talking to a preacher yesterday afternoon and I was telling him the same thing. And he was asking me, he says, I like what you stand on and what your church is standing on. Because you're standing on the King James Bible. I said, yep, sure are. And I said, I'm going to stand on it until the day that I die. I said, that's what I got saved by. And if it was good enough for me to get saved by, it's good enough for me to live by, it's good enough for me to preach by, it's good enough for me to lead somebody else to the Lord by. And he says, and I told him, I said, now, you can take all these other translations and I can pick out verses in them and I can get some verses in them and I can just find some verses that I can be able to take that other translation and be able to take and lead somebody to the Lord with it. I says, but the thing about it is, after I take them and lead them to the Lord with the other translation, then what are they going to do? They're going to ask me, say, well, what kind of Bible was you using? Well, I can't tell them. Well, I prefer the King James. And I won't use any King James. I would have to tell them the truth. I'd have to tell them in what Bible that I would look that I was reading from. And not only that, then they would go to the Bible bookstore and they would look for that particular Bible. The day that I got saved, the individual showed me his Bible. And he told me, he says, I use a C.I. Scofield Bible, but it's a King James Bible. He says, what you need to do is you need to go to the Bible bookstore. And you need to ask for King James Bible by C.I. Scofield. It got footnotes in there, and it will help you. It's a study Bible. It will help you. He didn't tell me, well, you need to go to the bookstore and get you a Bible. I don't know if all of you heard me say it at one time or not. But I think it's downstairs in the basement. I've got a book down there. It's about that thick. And it's about that long. And about that wide. You know what it's got on the front of it? It's got on it the Bible. The Bible. In big letters there. Up underneath there, it has some other words there. I mean, you can go and you can find any kind of book out here that's got the word Bible on it.
But you know what that, you know what the book is that I'm telling you about that I have? And it's got the Bible on it. It's the Bible. What it is, it's a book that has directions. It has ways that I can go in and I can build type of jigs and stuff like that for woodworking. I can go in and I can cut, use some wood, and I can go in and cut out a jig for a bandsaw or something like that. But it's got the Bible on it. So you've got to be specific when you say something about the Bible. And we got to say what we believe in. Now I know that a whole other day they'll come up to you and they say, well, I just can't understand the King James Bible. Just can't understand it. Well, I didn't understand it either until after I got saved. Then I had somebody else there that was helping with me to understand what I was reading. Yes, and what I'd read some verses of scripture, and I said, well, I don't understand that. Then I'd get and reread it again. And I'd reread it. And I'd reread it and reread it and reread it. And still didn't understand. Didn't understand what God was speaking about. But you know what God told me? It's just like me and Brother Bill talking. God says, what you're reading right now, you don't need it for right now. When you need it, I'll give it to you. I'll show you in the Bible where it's at. You go to it. Because you don't need it now. And how true that is. A whole lot of times we don't need it at that particular moment. But because we don't understand it, we get so fretted with ourselves. I got so fretted there with my own self that one time. I just said, well, Lord, I said, if you're not going to help me understand the Bible, and I try my very best to read it and try to understand, try to meditate on it. I know I can't remember the scripture. I said, but can you help me, please? And I got so fretted and so irritated that one time, I just closed my Bible up and put it on my desk stand to study. I said, well, shoot, I'm going to just give it up. It ain't, he don't need me to get in there, wasting my time in there reading it. I mean, I can read it, but hey, I ain't understanding it. And then he told me, reading you don't understand it because you don't have nothing to go up against it. That's just like when I was having the problems with me standing up. When I was having them minister. See, I didn't understand none of that. But see, now, since then, I've met other people that goes through the same situation. That yes, they have many strokes. It affects them in different ways. Some of them affects them in the legs. Some of them affects them in the speech. Some of them affects them in other ways. But see, I could not relate to them before because I didn't know anything about it. And, you know, a whole lot of times, if you'll notice, when we go to the funeral home or when we go to the hospital or see somebody that's bedridden or sick or something else, we'll say, well, we're going to be praying for you. We know what you're going through. Do we really know what they're going through? Unless you have walked a mile in their steps, you do not know
what another individual goes through. And I know at times I'm just as guilty of it, that looking at an individual that just, you'll see them out, but then they don't want to come to church or they're sick. Hey, I don't know the reason. What I have to do is just pray for them. Just have to pray for them is all I have to do. But it says right here in verse 14, and I'm going to read these verses right here. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wast cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. What God is saying is, God is saying, hey, don't straddle no fence. I'd rather for you to either be cold or hot. Don't be cold and don't be lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm, because when you're lukewarm, you're not going to do anything for me. We need to be either cold or hot. I can drink or Mountain Dew or something like that, or a glass of water or something like that if it's cold. I can drink a Mountain Dew or Coke or even a bottle of water if it has not been put in the refrigerator, when it's just hot. But for it to be lukewarm, and you're going to have a little chill there, you can take, you can feel some of it that has been a little chill on it. But then some of it is still warm. I can't take it. Because it don't feel good. I mean, it don't feel good to me, and it don't quench my thirst. We need something that will quench our thirst. And if you're here this morning, if you're saved, there was one time in your life that your thirst was quenched. That was quenched from the living water that the Lord Jesus gave unto you. He gave us living water that we could nourish upon, that where we could have the freshness. But then what has happened to it? What has happened to us today? We have gotten so to the point now, well, you know, if I go to church this Sunday, they're not going to miss me. They're not going to miss me. But do you know something? I do. Maybe some of the other people don't, but I do. I'll miss anyone that wants to come to the church, join a church. I miss them when they're not here. But I cannot be an individual that will go there and hold their hand 24 hours a day. And I cannot go out here and purchase and have up under the podium or right here
a case of pacifiers where I can take and pass out to individuals, because that's what a whole lot of individuals want. They want somebody to pacify them. We don't need to have people to pacify. We don't need to have people looking to this and looking to that. We need honest people that is willing to say, God, here I am. I'm nothing. You know all about me? I'm nothing. But you take me and you use it. You use me for your honor and your glory. And you will be surprised. You will really be surprised how God will use you. An individual I knew, he's in heaven today. But I will tell you something. He always stayed busy doing something for the Lord. When he was at church, every service, before he would lock the doors of the church, he would go around to all the bathrooms and make sure that they was okay. He would check all the trash cans. He would gather up all the trash in the church. That was an important job. But sometimes we look down on people like that. We can't look down on people because, you know something, it could be me doing that. And it should, you know, and I should be able to do that. We don't need to look down on people anymore. We've looked down on people long enough. And we don't need to look down on them anymore. We don't have to go out here and beg people to go to church. You know, I know the Bible says we must go out here in the highway and the hedges and compel people to come in. But you know what the word compel really means? You got to go back, you got to look it up in the Greek, in the Hebrew. And you got to look it up in two or three different verses and all like that, what it means. Before we can go and visit somebody, before we can go into the highway and the hedges and speak to them and compel them to come to church, is that we have got to show them that we love them. That we love them at all the cost. It doesn't make no difference. They can turn right around right then and spit on us. But even if they spit on us, what did Jesus say? We must love them. Now I'll tell you something, that'd be awful kind of hard, wouldn't it? That would be awful hard. To love somebody and want to be their friend when they didn't spit on you. But how are we going to get to the point to where they don't spit on you? We need to pray. We need to tell them, say, well, you know, we just like the handkerchief. We can wipe a little spit off a little. We can say, hey, just want to be your friend. We can win more people to the Lord with love, telling people we want to be the friend
than we can. Just going out here and just beating them up. You're not going to win nobody like that. But there are too many people out here today that's dying, going to hell. But it says in verse 16, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And I knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness be not appeared, and anoint them the eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I have loved, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's saying, I'm rich. Because this is the Lord Jesus Christ, he's speaking. He's speaking to me and you, and he says, you can also be rich. You can also have the goods. But you have to show my love to people. That's the only way we're going to win them. It's the only way we'll ever win people to the Lord. And we have to do it. If you're a Christian, if you're saved by the grace of God, we are commanded by God to do that. We are not saved. He did not save nobody in here or at any other church that where people, where Christians are attending. He did not save them for them to come into the church and walk around and get to their pew. He didn't save them where they could come in and be pew-warmers. Save people where they could be heart-warmers. Heart-warmers. We have to. That's the only way we're going to get people in the house of the Lord. And I'll still say it again. I'm not here for upbuilding of any church, this church, or any other church. I'm here the upbuilding of the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom. That's the one that I want to build up. Because if we tell people, well, you're going home one day. You're going home one day. You're going to meet Jesus in the air. And you're going to be able to thank him for all he's done for us. But then, there's going to come a time and a moment that I don't want to go through. I don't want to go through it. But I've got to do it. I've got to go through it. That's the judgment seat of Christ. I have to give an account of what I've done. I have to give an account of what I've preached. And I've told y'all many a times before, I'm not one of the elaborate speakers or preachers. Words that I can't pronounce. I'm just doing it for God. God can use anybody if they want to be used. But they got to be want to be used of God. And I do, I want to thank God for each and every one of you that's here today. Y'all have stood, y'all have kept things going. If nothing else, that right there is a testimony in itself that God is going to bless you. And when God pours his blessings out on you, hallelujah. I mean, look at all the blessings he's performed this year. I mean, Brother Bill, I mean, you know, he'd been praying. We've been praying for Brother Bill to get that post office job. But, you know, he said, well, hopefully sometime, maybe this year, this summer, he'll get it. And he's got one now with the post office. 6 days a week, though. One thing about it, though, we need to watch out what we pray for.
Amen.
Because God does answer prayer. And he answered prayer the way we pray. And I didn't say that to bring attention to Brother Bill, but I know he'd been praying for a while. He'd been praying for a pretty good while now. But see, you know, what you have to do, we just have to be consistent at what we're praying for. We don't need to change it up. And we don't need to, if we start praying for this, we don't need to say, well, I'm going to change it up today. I'm going to say this instead of, maybe I'm putting a little bit too much in it. No, just come and ask. Come and ask, come and seek. They go and knock. And he answers. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank you for this time, Lord, that where we could fellowship together. And Lord Jesus, not only just to fellowship together, but Father, that we could fellowship with you and around your word this morning. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will help each one of us as individuals, that we can be united together in such a way, Father, where people can sense your love through each one of us. That the people that we visit would just want to have some kind of glimpse of what's happening here. And why the individuals that come each and every service, while they stay so happy all the time. Reason I stay so happy, because I know that I'm not going to hell. And yes, I'm happy because, Lord, you've given me a place where I can preach to people where it loves me and where I love the people. So, Lord, we just ask this evening that you go with us. And, Father, go with each one of them. And we pray, Lord, that you may Touch the dead, Father. Father, that they can live the life before the children and before the grandchildren, Lord. That yes, the children, the grandchildren would want something that the fathers have. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.